The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Morning Drive on WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 in Lee. Welcome to Monday morning. It is July 27th. I'm Brian Burkle. I'll be your host today. We are live and local this morning at the WTBR studio on Federico Drive. And today we're going to be talking about Love of Tea, which is an organization here in Berkshire County focused on peer-to-peer counseling for folks who are struggling with suicidal ideation or other mental health issues and just looking to have someone to talk to. And this is an organization that's been, we have the founder of that organization here, Luke Fitzgerald. And Luke's been in here before, so this is a revisitation. In fact, Luke was my very first guest 2.5 years ago. So we'll talk about that for a little bit, for a moment too. And we also have Nico Jargiulo, sorry, I'm so sorry. Who's also here? She's going to be working on a documentary relative to Love of Tea. So we're going to talk about Love of Tea in a moment. Before we get into that, I am just going to check in with our weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly clear. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Monday, mostly sunny. Scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-80s. Light and variable wind, becoming south around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of rain 30%. Monday night, partly cloudy. Lows around 60. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okie doke. That is our weather coming up. Check back in tomorrow about tomorrow's weather, though. Changes day by day here. But it has been. We've had a pretty good streak the last couple of days, that's for sure. Yeah. So, again, we're talking today about Love of Tea. And so in studio, we have Nico Jargiulo. See, this time I'm getting better. I'll have it right, Nico, by the end, but hopefully by the halftime.
You got it.
And Luke Fitzgerald with Love of Tea. Luke is the founder of Love of Tea. And just before we did the weather, I was just mentioning here on air to Luke that he actually was my first guest, Luke, on the show.
Yeah, at this point, Brian, we kind of go way back. So
we were friends before then, and had a lot of collaborations before then. But I went back, you know, doing my research for today, and I said, I know I interviewed you before, and it turns out it was my first one, my maiden voyage. So, and it was, believe it or not, it was 2.5 years ago.
I think it was actually my first time on the radio also.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You've improved. I haven't. So,
try it. I try not to think about it.
Yeah. Every time I'm here, it's like my maiden voyage. So, hitting the wrong buttons and everything else, but you know. Free labor. So anyway, yeah, we want to talk about your organization, the Love of Tea. So why don't we start off by, why don't you just give us a little overview for anybody who's just joining us who maybe isn't familiar with the program.
Yeah, so if you're just joining us, Love of Tea is a peer-to-peer suicide prevention program. So what we do is we operate a drop-in space. We do it 4 nights a week in Berkshire County, 3 nights, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 4 to 7 in Pittsfield, and Tuesdays, 3 to 6 in North Adams. Pittsfield's at the George Crane Center on Linden Street, and North Adams at the UNO Center, collaboration with Northern Berkshire Community Coalition. So what we do is we employ peer specialists who are people that have lived with mental health struggles or suicidal thoughts and gotten through their own struggles in order to receive some training and help others to get through those struggles. So mm-hmm. we employ We strive to have two there facilitating each drop-in session every night. I have to give a huge shout out to Jessica Barassa. Maybe she's listening, hopefully, who is my lead peer specialist, program coordinator. And, you know, Jess kind of leads the charge. We also do a lot of outreach. We go into the Pomeroy House. We go into the locked behavioral health acute unit at the hospital, Jones, as everyone refers to it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of collaboration with Breen Center at the CBHC. Like I said, Pomeroy House partial program. And I just love the team there at the partial program at BMC. Those guys are awesome. Nick and crew. And we go into those places where people are struggling or have just come through a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We tell them, you know, the program's here. This is what it's about. You know, it's not clinical. It's not psychiatry. It's not therapy. So we're not really trying to diagnose anybody. We're just simply trying to be a voice. And people often say, like, love of tea. Oh, you know, oh, extra special teas. People think I'm that guy or person. I don't know who owns that, but I'm not. And Love of Tea is in memory of my mom. Her name is Teresa Fitzgerald, who died by suicide in 2021. And Tea was just her nickname. And so the name is kind of a poetic thing that does need to be explained, where she was always the one that was on the phone if my cousins were having problems or, you know, her friends. She was always ear to listen. So we try to bring the love that she brought to those that knew her to the community to hopefully prevent them by dying by the same means. So it's been quite a ride. It's been 5 years.
I know.
Five and a half.
I know. You've done it a lot. I mean, well, first of all, when you say 5 years, it's 5 years since you lost your mom.
Yeah. And
you set out on this mission very quickly right after.
Extremely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of just, I was talking with somebody, I think over the weekend, about how we had, you know, that vigil that was, I think maybe that's when we met, was we had that vigil. It was October of 2021. It was like 38 degrees and raining. And like, I'm just like thinking about it this morning while I was at the gym. Like, one of my big supporters has been Paul Sopranowitz at Alternative Living Center, which is like a rehab for substance abuse, basically. And I can remember we're like scrambling to put this vigil on. We got, like, you know, one of our board members got a hold of Darren O'Brien, who hooked us up with sound. And then the forecast was rain. It was like, oh no, how are we going to do this in the pouring rain? And so we got Donna and Christian Hansen from Balderdash. They didn't even know who I was. They donated a bunch of easy ups, and we got like all these guys that were living at ALC came together to like hold the easy ups and get, you know, let the event go off. And we had this beautiful vigil, like 150 people, made the front page of the Berkshire Eagle. And I think my quote was that I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs for the rest of my life about this problem. And so that brings us to the next thing. I mean, this is great. I love to come on the radio. I love going on with Marjo and Slater, but how do I keep screaming? And that brings us to Nico and Tom and this little documentary that we're doing. Yeah. So it's kind of the next phase. And, you know, the mission statement of Love T is to restore the will to live and thrive. So that's what we try to do through the peer program. But also, you know, I've had some instances where people just come up to me, like my friend's brother. This was like last summer, and he, you know, my friend had reached out and was like, hey, you know, so-and-so, they're having, you know, struggling, and I told him to come by. And then I ended up running into him without, you know, seeing them prior. And he just comes up to me. He's like, listen, dude, I was really having a hard time, and I just, the whole time, I just thought of you and your story.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know that you exist, you know, I didn't do anything that was irrational. Mm-hmm. So my goal for this film is to get it into some different festivals, and like Berkshire National Film Festival. That's the first one we're going to submit to. We're going to submit some others, but then kind of take it and, you know, widen the audience and get it into hopefully some schools, colleges, and just to showcase to people that like times are really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And just to show that like you can be resilient, and no matter what, you know, you don't have to give in, and you can keep pushing and
And like
spread the message.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a big part of this, is spreading the message, which we're doing today. And Nico, we'll talk to you in a moment about your mission. But Luke, I mean, to your point, you said, you know, people come to you, right? They come to you because they know who you are. Your message is getting out there. And the message that really needs to get out there is that you're not alone. And when people know your story, they know your organization, they know what you provide with peers, with lived experiences, that is the for some people, that is the welcome and the opening door to have those further conversations. Because the isolation is the number one thing that you're trying to eliminate, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So like you said, you're looking at different ways to get your message out there. You've been very successful. We'll talk about some of the things you've done already in the past 5 years with your fundraising and your events and the social support, the community support you've had. But let's talk about this upcoming event or this endeavor with Nico. So Nico, take the floor and just tell us what's going on. What's your mission here working with Luke?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm doing this film with my partner, Tom Chaburi. Mm-hmm. He's directing the film I'm producing. And we've both had personal experiences with suicide in our lives in various ways. When I was in my early 20s, one of my first peer friend deaths that I experienced was by suicide, and that rocked me and my friend group. And ever since then, it's been something that has really touched my life and similarly for Tom. And so when we were introduced to Luke and the prospect of this project, it was really a no-brainer for both of us to jump on board. Mm-hmm. And it's just been so beautiful to get to know Love of Tea, get to know people in the community through the organization, the various ways people are connected. I'm new to the Berkshires, and so it's a lot of my...
Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm loving it so far. We've gotten to know people in Luke's life who knew Teresa, knew his mother. We've gotten to know peer support specialists and participants of Love of Tea. Mm-hmm. And then we've gotten to speak with folks like you who are actually doing a lot of, community work. We've talked with folks down at Rural Recovery and just really understanding, that we need a network to support people in their struggles. And so, yes, there are therapists, there are the, inpatient centers, but then who else are involved in really making sure that every member of our community feels like they have support. Mm-hmm. So the documentary is really, we're kind of telling the story about Teresa and Luke and the how, Teresa's death inspired him to begin Love of Tea, but we're also kind of understanding the greater ecosystem of the Berkshires and mental health in the Berkshires, and how Love of Tea is playing an invaluable role in making sure people have the care that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is the messaging is the important, is
absolutely
really important. So any way that you can get it out there, because people receive things from different mediums. Right.
Yeah.
Different forms of media and learn things in different ways. Right.
Absolutely.
So putting it out here as a documentary that as Luke had said, you're looking to, when it's completed, enter it into some festivals. Really get some distribution there and some eyes on your messaging. So that's the most important part, because, like we said, I keep reiterating this, that it's important that people know that there are resources out there.
Absolutely. And I think, we kind of have two main goals for the film. One being education, just that this exists and this is a resource that you can utilize if you are, someone struggling or someone you know is struggling in the Berkshires. But then also we really want to reduce the stigma of what does it mean to be going through a struggle like this? What does it mean to have suicidal ideation? And I think, something you two are just speaking about is the isolation. Something I have found so interesting just learning more about Teresa's story is she was surrounded by love. She had so many people who she was connected with and she was not someone he would think, the quote-unquote stereotypical person you would assume is struggling with mental health. And so one of our big goals is to just kind of reduce the stigma of what it looks like to, be dealing with suicidal ideation and really normalize that, like, so many people are experiencing this from all walks of life. It doesn't make you, you know, any kind of stereotype. Like, really, anyone that you know can be going through this inner isolation. We're really trying to show the kind of, like, humanity behind it instead of reducing it to this caricature that often happens.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a very universal experience. Yeah. And, you know, like you mentioned that you had some loss in your life as well when you were younger, someone in your friend group. So, I mean, you know, I think most people don't realize, like, when they've experienced a loss of some degree, they do feel alone. They don't know how often this may be happening.
Absolutely.
And that there are other people who have had these experiences. So, you know, this, I think, will just open that up to people so they don't feel so alone if they've lost somebody, right? Or if they're struggling with ideation themselves.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that we've, in our conversations, especially with the participants of Love of Tea's programming, you know, I think whenever we're trying to do anything new, it can be really scary and intimidating. Even going to, like, a yoga class for the first time can be scary to enter a new space. And so something else that we're hoping the film really captures is just how much heart and welcome is, like, rooted in Love of Tea. And so, you know, if we can bring this to schools, if we can bring this to community centers, to libraries, to give people a glimpse into who is at Love of Tea, who is Jess, who is Luke, I think that will help people realize, like, oh man, okay, I can see myself in that person. I can see myself sitting down and having a conversation with them. So yeah, also trying to show the warmth that's there and available to people.
Yeah, it breaks down that mystique.
Exactly.
So here's a website, and here's you know, some pamphlets, and but who are these people?
Exactly.
And you know, what would it be like to actually be there? So it does. It breaks down some barriers to have faces, to know, put names to faces, right?
Yes.
And then also just maybe even, you know, the environment where this is happening that might come across in the videos as well.
Yeah.
As we're talking today, you know, it's always important that we always talk about 988. Because anytime we're talking about suicidal ideation or mental health, we want to make sure that we're getting that messaging out as well. So if anybody does not know what 988 is, it is a 24/7 national phone number that you can call. It's a suicide crisis line, but you don't need to be in crisis. I know some of the operators who have weekly callers, and they talk for 10 minutes and they'll call again next week just to get through a tough day. You can also call for somebody else. So they are a great resource if you have someone that you're concerned about, that you can call 988 and say, listen, I'm worried about this person in my life. What are some things I can recommend to them? And what 988 will do, because it's a national number, is they'll determine where you are. They'll ask you where you are, and they'll connect you with local resources. So we want to make sure everybody knows 988, fantastic resource. Locally, of course, what we're talking about today is Love of Tea. How does somebody get a hold of Love of Tea?
You know, that's a really good question. So at Love of Tea, like, people ask me, oh, are you a hotline? I just had somebody ask me that last night, and I say, no, but we're kind of like a hotline in person. So we also are a very small grassroots organization who is not staffed full-time. So we operate on the drop-in basis, so you can just show up. And like you said, that 988 has a 10-minute, you know, caller once a week. Like, you can come to our drop-in space for 10 minutes. You can come for 2 minutes. You can stay for 3 hours. There's no obligation. There's no reporting. You know, we're not asking really questions. You can share what you are comfortable sharing. And with our outreach, we really like to do, like, targeted outreach. So this is something that we've been really working on since we all have to say that, like, we have, like, a really, I'm kind of blown away by the support of the community. When I look at growth from, 2023, when we launched the program, till now, it's, like, quadrupled, and we've really been able to make a big impact. So, we do our outreach to the hospital, to Pomeroy House, to these places, that are spaces where people that are struggling are going to be potentially. And sometimes it takes to the second, third, fourth time someone sees us in order for them to show up. And a lot of times people say, wow, you know, I'm glad I did. Also, May was, you know, Mental Health Awareness Month, and we decided that, you know, we're going to put up a couple of billboards. Mm-hmm. And so we had one, and it was like, it was kind of funny because they were all, well, the main one was on Tyler Street, and it was like right above Zenner's.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just funny contrast, like liquor store, suicide prevention billboard. One up in North Adams, one on Elm Street. So getting the word out, and a lot of it's word of mouth. But we're also, you know, not confused that we are not, like, you have all these agencies, CSO, Brain Center, the hospital, like, they're staff full-time. They have full-time social workers. They have case managers. Like, those organizations can do that stuff. We are not trying to be them, because we're not.
Right, because you're not, they're not counselors. These aren't professional counselors. These are peers with lived experience.
Yeah,
is that fair to say?
But I would say they're professional. Like, okay, I don't discount that, because they are.
Sure.
Because they're really good.
Because they went through training. So you've sent them to training.
Yeah,
right?
Well, a lot of them already had that. Like, when we started the program, I had friends that already went through the trainings and worked in the ER. So it was, like, kind of perfect to be able to set that up. And when we have, you know, new people, yes, they're actively getting trained right now. So,
and part of that training for them, I would assume, is make sure that they also have self-help or self-care.
Yes, that's really the biggest thing this year with growth. And even for myself, it's like, you know, go, do all this, be here, be at every event, table every event, like, be everywhere at the same time. And then, like, I'm also trying to, like, you know, my dad was really sick. He passed in November of cancer. I have a couple elderly family members that I look after. So it's like, hold on, like, slow down. And this year I told, like, all my staff, like, yes, we're going to table, and volunteers, we're going to table a lot of events. We're not going to every one. Like, you guys are going to Cape Cod on a family vacation, like John and Jess, who are the heartbeat of the program. If there's an event to table, you know, I'm saying go on vacation, because you have to show up and be fully present.
Right.
And so, and even for me, like, I work full time. My job is not easy. Plus, you know, I do all this stuff. Like, I was at the Barrington Stage Gala last night, which is at the Stationery Factory where we had ours. And, you know, I'm just trying to learn a couple things, observe, to scale ours. And that's, you know, for me, that's work, but it's also fun. But it's also time out of my Sunday, you know, which is like reset day. So I didn't really have a full reset.
Right. So, and you need to make sure you're getting that balance.
Definitely. Yeah. That's what I've realized. And I'm really trying to, like, reprioritize that in my life. And, you know, like, meditation's a big thing. I've been in recovery. It's like 9.5 years.
That's great.
Keeping that, you know, up
front. Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. But I don't know. I kind of look at it as like, I grew up finally. but at the same time, like, I can't forget about that just because I'm at this, you know, these galas, like, there's free champagne being passed out and I'm like right to the bar for a club soda. Like, give me the, I'll take those bubbles.
Yeah, it's always a work in progress. I mean,
yeah,
it's always going to be working. It's always going
to
be work.
Yeah, there's always something to do.
Yeah. So as far as like, for the love of tea, when somebody, you know, like I said, when you call 988, you can call for a friend and ask for resources.
Yeah.
So I think what's important for people to know about love of tea is that, again, it's not just for those who may be in crisis or have an ideations of their own, but for those of us in their orbit who recognize that, hey, my friend, my family member, they could probably use someone to talk to. I'm not equipped to do that. You know, how would I even start this?
Yeah.
So if they could refer someone to Love of Tea, they could say, listen, you know, let's find out more about Love of Tea. Let's maybe get you there. The website, is that, do people go there? And
the website is going to plug you into the hours. Jessica.
Is it just a show up kind of thing?
Yeah, okay. Some people come. Like, people have been accompanied by family members. And Jess does a lot of outreach to, you know, like, she was doing outreach to CHP, to primary care offices, to, you know, different places. There's a group of, like, and the name is escaping me. It's like a collaborative of therapists in the Berkshire. So we do, like, periodic Zoom calls with them to, like, make them aware. And so that's where a lot of the referrals come from. But Yeah, it's just, you know, show up. And people are welcome. Like, we had somebody reach out that was just interested in learning more recently via email, and they wanted to just show up. And I said, hey, listen, you know, if you're having these thoughts, mm-hmm. you're more than welcome to show up. But if you're not, you know, here's Jess via email. Mm-hmm. Here's our information. And, like, we're happy to educate you on it. But ultimately, like, please respect, you know, the privacy of the individuals that are coming for mm-hmm. help.
Yeah, so if there's a need and there's a fit, then
yeah, and
then
it could be passive. Yeah. Like, I have those thoughts mm-hmm. from time to time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of been a while, but, like, you know, I grew up, I had mental health struggles, I had suicidal ideation, I had substance abuse. So when we say we're a peer mm-hmm. organization, like, you know, we really are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's another thing to be, like, I was at an event the other day and I was talking about, I'm on a committee for the Berkshire International Film Festival. We have this new initiative, the BIFF Social Club. So it's a club to promote the film festival and to get the younger crowd involved. And so we're doing a screening of a film that was there last year in November. And so the film is called Shattered Ice. It's a true story. It's about a high school hockey team, and one of the players dies by suicide, and then the town rallies around his best friend, who's the other player, and wins mm-hmm. the championship, right? Mm-hmm. So these guys have been doing a huge social impact campaign across the country with different colleges, NHL teams, all that. So we're going to bring that to the Berkshires November 11th, and I got some great people that are, you know, local athletics guys, which I'm definitely not.
You're just at the gym, though.
Yeah, so Jake McNeese at Rip City, he's going to be on the Q&A panel. Jerome Edgerton, who everybody loves. Matt Capelis, who's a big mental health advocate. So mm-hmm. we're going to do this panel. But I'm saying this to say that, yeah, that's November 11th or November 12th at the Triplex in Great Barrington. It's going to mm-hmm. be a great event, a great screening. But when you're the guy, me, who's... Yeah, I've had these thoughts, I've had these mental health issues, I'm in recovery, and you're out in public and you're promoting this, like, there's a lot of dirty looks and a lot of eye rolls, which is, I think, it's kind of the hardest part to endure. Like, I can chalk up the tragedy, I've done that, I can, you know, I've lost both my parents, I'm only 37 or 36 at the time, okay. But I was at an event the other night, and I'm talking about the film screening of Shattered Ice. And somebody just looks at me dead in the eye and say, oh, well, isn't that a fun topic? And they just roll their eyes and then they mm-hmm. walk away. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the stuff. And those reactions are exactly why we're making this film. It's mm-hmm. exactly why those guys made that film. And it's exactly why this stuff needs to be talked about.
Right. Because it is clearly an uncomfortable conversation to have.
Definitely.
And because of the stigma associated with, and just, it's just not a, it's like, the, you know, like this person said, it's not a fun topic, right? Not at all, but it's an important one and a very serious one, and it needs to happen. And that's why, you know, having Love of Tea and the film, Nico, that you're going to be producing is helpful with doing that. So we're going to take a break in a minute. Just before we take that break, though, I want to just kind of revisit real quickly for anybody who's just joining us. As far as Love of Tea goes, what are the hours of those drop-in visitations and those locations? Let's get that information out there.
Drop-ins in Pittsfield are Monday, Wednesday, Friday mm-hmm. from 4 to 7. That's at the George B. Crane Memorial Center, 81 Linden Street in Pittsfield, upstairs. Mm-hmm. And then the UNO Center in North Adams, Tuesdays, 3 to 6. And I think that's 157 River Street.
But on River Street.
My North Adams geography is terrible.
That's what I have here, 157 River Street. So, all right. So those are different options for folks if they do want to come in and do a drop-in. And then, of course, you can always go to the website and review that if you didn't write it down just now, or if it comes to you at some other point, you can always go to the website. All that's posted on there. Is that right, Luke?
Yeah. That's all there.
Yep. Okay. All right, so we are going to take a little station break here. We're at the top of the hour, so we're going to pause for a station ID. We're going to thank our underwriters, and when we return, we will continue this conversation with Nico Gargiulo and Luke Fitzgerald talking about...
I always wondered how to say it, too.
All right, well, thanks very much. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay.
I do want to plug.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
For over four decades, Berkshire AHEC has been serving the health education needs of Berkshire County. We offer Berkshire AHEC Health Scholars Program at BCC, medical and community interpreter training, continuing education for healthcare professionals, and the Tobacco-Free Community Partnership. For more information, visit our website, berkshireahec.org, or call us at 413-842-5160. Look for us on Facebook and Instagram.
Hey, this is Dave Cachet, the archivist of the WTBR-FM Vinyl Library. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9 for Random Draw, a trip through the vinyl archives of WTBR. I'll take you back in time to when these records were brand new. Each week, I'm going to pick a random spot in the vast record library of WTBR and pull out a bunch of great vinyl to play for you. That's right, an hour's worth of random songs with that rich vinyl sound, just the way you remember them. That's Random Draw every Saturday morning at 9, only on WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Santrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, and welcome back to the Morning Drive, WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 FM in Lee. I'm your host today, Brian Burkle, and we're going to get into our weather. And then when we come back from the weather, we're going to continue our conversation about Love of Tea Foundation here in Berkshire County.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly clear. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Monday, mostly sunny. Scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-80s. Light and variable wind, becoming south around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of rain 30%. Monday night, partly cloudy. Lows around 60. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, Berkshire weather. Berkshire weather. It's beautiful out right now. We'll definitely take this. So anyway, today we are talking about the Love of Tea Foundation here in Berkshire County. We have in-house the founder and director, Luke Fitzgerald. Hi, Luke.
Hey.
And we have Nico Gargiulo, who is here as well. And Nico is working on a documentary about Love of Tea. So, Nico, let's start talking a little bit with you about what kind of drew you to this, what your experiences are that I mean, we mentioned a little bit before about, you know, you had some experience with some loss when you were younger, but specifically, and you're new to the area here, what was it that stood out to you about Love of Tea?
Yeah, so my partner, Tom Jaburi, who I'm doing this film with, he's from the Berkshires originally, grew up in Hinsdale, and recently came back to the area, and we're really interested in doing these social impact documentary work for things happening here in the Berkshires. So initiatives from organizations, individuals, really kind of telling the human story about what's happening in here in our community. And so with the love of tea, when Luke first reached out to us, you know, it struck many personal experiences we've both had, Tom and I, with mental health and suicide and in our own circles. And, you know, it had been a couple of months into pre-production for this film where one of our loved ones was actually in crisis in a different area. It was a major metropolitan city. And Tom was like, we should call Luke and ask him, you know, what to do. And so in that moment, you know, it was a really profound moment for us to be working on this film with him about love of tea, and then to have our own need emerge through that. And Luke was so helpful. But what we found was that in that metropolitan city, there were no resources even close to what love of tea offers our community. That was just really striking to us how few resources there actually do exist, even in big cities where we think, you know, there are so many resources. So for a rural area like the Berkshires to have an organization like Love of Tea that's available, that's, you know, kind of it's another role in kind of the constellation, as I've been thinking of it, the constellation of care. You know, you there's therapy and counseling, there's inpatient, there's the hospitalization. There's your friends and family, but to have a place where you can go really be held by peers, I think is such an important role, and really doesn't exist in enough places, I think. So, that's, you know.
So you find this sort of a rare existence, is that what you're saying?
In my experience, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, in our conversations with people, like we were talking with the folks down at Rural Recovery and Gary Pratt. So Gary Pratt was kind of filling us in on some of the statistics around resources in the Berkshires compared to like the Boston metropolitan area. And there's really the Berkshires do kind of exist as an island in some ways. And so, yeah, for the love of tea to be an available resource that people on almost a daily basis can go and access peer support it's huge. It's so amazing. So for me and Tom, with our mission about doing social impact documentary work in the Berkshires, it's been so profound and really fulfilling for us to be working on this with Luke.
Yeah, and you know, we know statistically, Berkshire County has one of the highest rates of all the counties in Massachusetts. I mean, Massachusetts nationally has one of the lower rates of suicide, fortunately. But Massachusetts as a whole has some pretty good resources. You know, there's higher population. But where nationally you see the higher rates of suicide are areas where people are more, back to that word, isolated, right?
Right.
So you get out into like your Montanas and your Idahos, and the rates are very high there. There's other factors. There's always other factors. But then you take the national outlook and you bring it to Massachusetts, and then you look at where are the more rural areas in Massachusetts, and that is Berkshire County, Franklin County, Barnstable County, you know, the Cape. You know, people don't think about that sometimes because most of we're there in the summer and you can't find a parking spot, right?
Right.
But, you know, in the off season, it's pretty desolate. So so wherever there can be some services, you know, and the metropolitan area that you're talking about was a little bit further away, I think, right?
Right.
But I know that in Boston, there's a woman that started a program very similar. It was more of a she had a loss as well, and she realized that in Boston there wasn't anything there. It's called Dee Dee's Cry, and Toy Burton is her name. And what's interesting, as far as like Love of Tea goes, and what your mission is that she had set up a virtual kind of meeting that she opened up to the public, and she initially called it like she invited people, and the way it was titled was Attempt Survivors, and nobody was showing up. She tweaked it and to something like people who have considered suicide, and then people start showing up. So, and that's what, you know, what you do is that, you broaden it to people who are just having those thoughts.
Yeah. That might be on the horizon for us. You know, we're, and I do want to say like with this film. Like, we are not, you know, we're fundraising for the film separately from the program. Like, us starting and doing this film is not, we are not pivoting into some different kind of organization. Like, we are, and this is the first from day one with these guys conversation I had. It's like, we are prioritizing the program budget and the, you know, the longevity of the program and the stability of the program. And we prioritize that over everything. And I, you know, I was like kind of hesitant. You know, these guys are professional and they're really good. I mean, Tom was like done. Yeah, I don't really know Nico's resume. I just know she's awesome. But I know Tom's been all over the world doing documentaries.
She's got Tom's stamp of approval.
Like in LA, I stamp, you know, from day one, both of these guys. But, you know, I was talking with Jess Vecchia, who started Roots Rising. This is before I think we even contacted Tom. And, you know, she said, like, and I mean, she's done kind of what I did, like started an organization from nothing. And I mean, look at what they're doing. She scaled this. They're building a whole farm on Barker Road, like amazing stuff and really making a huge impact. And, you know, I went to their gala last year and heard, you know, one of their, it was a similar thing to what we've done, where one of their participants who's now on the board shared about the profound impact that Roots Rising had on her life. And so one of the things she said to me is, you know, the best things and the best bang for your buck as an organization is to put things into media and to share your mission with a wider audience. So that was kind of what I needed, because I've watched what she's done even from before I started Love Tea and always been blown away. So, you know, I take those words to heart, and that was what really gave me the final nudge to say, okay, like, let's, you know, let's go after this. And, so, like you're saying with the online groups, you know, we're thinking, we don't really know yet. Usually every year I'm able to determine, you know, at the end of the year when we do our final books for the year, or just, you know, right before, are we going to be able to expand? How prudently can we expand? And what is that expansion? What does that look like? Last year it was North Adams. Could it be this next year? Could it be Great Barrington? Could it be more North Adams? Could it be online? So that's kind of what I'm toying with. And
yeah,
so, I mean, you know, it's all about capacity. Like, we're not going to overextend ourselves. We need to be able to, like, so far we've never had to backtrack. You know, we've always, whenever we've expanded, we've been able to hold it. Granted, we're still new, but we've always been able to do that. And I don't want to have to cut. So I don't want to be, you know, overzealous and say that, you know, we can't continue some kind of expansion. But I will say that, you know, with the film, like, we've had very, very gracious support from the community. So we're able to make, like, an initial deposit with these guys. We did get a grant from Berkshire Film and Media Collaborative to start. And so we're looking to, you know, we've applied for some other grants related to the film. And so if anybody does, you know, want to support the film specifically, like, definitely reach out to us. My email is luke@loveoftea.org. I think I'm pretty easily to get a hold of in general. So, but I mean, just the impact that we've been able to make from, you know, we've been starting to get to some grants, good chunks of money. I could shout out a bunch of different places, Berkshire Taconic. There's a lot of individuals or family foundations that have really stepped up in a major, major way and been able to give us a sustainable program. But it's really the support of the community. I mean, we started with, you know, our gala last year at Stationery Factory was above and beyond what it's looked like in the past. But just from really a celebration of life party for my mom, and then doing that twice, and then we were able to take a chance and start the program, you know, one night a week in a coffee shop on Elm Street, and look where it's gone.
You've advanced leaps and bounds here. And just, I want to clarify what you were just saying there about the fundraising, is that the film is a separate, entity, right? As far as fundraising goes. But it supports, upon when it's done, it's going to support the whole concept of Love of Tea. It's going to educate people about Love of Tea. But like when you had the Stationery Factory
event. Gala.
Gala.
Yeah.
That was more, that money
that's all program,
was for programming.
For programming,
which
yeah.
I just want to talk about, too, because I know you've always been, you had always championed the idea that your peer-to-peer counselors be paid.
Yeah,
time, right?
Definitely.
Which, absolutely. So that's what you're able to do.
Yeah.
So just put in perspective, if somebody wants to make a donation to Love of Tea,
mm-hmm.
what does that money go to? How does that help?
The donations, like you said, the peer specialists are paid. That mm-hmm. is the heartbeat of the budget of the program. I mean, we do, you know, we move into a very nice space.
Mm-hmm.
So we do pay rent mm-hmm. now, which, you know, when we had a coffee shop on Elm Street, I got to give Billy Jones a shout out for a free space
mm-hmm.
to start. I just said, you know, he's just another guy in recovery. And I said, hey, man, I'm really trying to do this thing. And, you know, I need a space. And he's like, yeah, here's a key, mm-hmm. you know, go for it. And so without that,
very generous.
I don't know if we would be here. So, yeah, the majority of the budget does go to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have other costs, as any organization does, administrative costs and whatever. Trying to spread some more awareness. We did put up the billboard, but really I see, you know, volunteer things happen and people that volunteer, I think a lot of people volunteer for a lot of things, but this work
mm-hmm.
is extremely stressful. Mm-hmm. It is extremely emotionally taxing for these really wonderful and empathetic people to go through, day after day, week after week, to watch people struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's a really valuable skill. And I think, you know, in these current times, like people with valuable skills should be compensated.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And I think if they weren't, that, you know, there's not a lot of people like this kind of thing people do at their own free will. But I think that it reduces burnout,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, my job, like, I like to help people, but if I didn't get paid, I'm not sure how long I would do it, you know?
Right.
And I did grow up, like, greenskeeping, and sometimes when I'm dealing with all this stuff, and I'm just like, man, could I just, like, be back at Berkshire Hills riding mm-hmm. a fairway mower
mm-hmm.
and listening to podcasts all day? Wouldn't that be great? But I think that, you know, that's not my purpose.
Yeah, you recognize it for now anyway. You have a different calling, a different
for
mission,
sure.
and thank God you're there, because it is important for people to have that resource. Because you know, like you said, it's an open invitation. Anybody who is experiencing or feeling, suicidal ideations, right, or just in general, depression or other mental health issues potentially, right? And they're just looking to have a peer-to-peer conversation. So, and we know that when we talked about people who have these ideas, because like one of the things that it's taught about approaching somebody who you are concerned about maybe at risk is how do you have that conversation mm-hmm. with somebody? And people are always afraid to say, are you thinking of dying by suicide? Because there's that old myth, which has been vetted and disproven, that if you say it, you're going to put it in their head. So, in fact, what actually happens is by asking that question, these are things that has been in somebody's head maybe for a while. You know, they've never said it to anybody.
Yeah.
And when you open that, when you invite that conversation, it's actually a big relief.
I'll tell you
right?
what, that's like my biggest regret with my mom. We mm-hmm. had a situation where we were, I've definitely never said this on air, but one of my coworkers had died by suicide, and it was like we were all getting our COVID shots that day,
mm-hmm.
and through my job, we got them prior to most people getting them. So that happened, and we got the news that day, and my boss just said, you know, mm-hmm. everybody just, you know, take the day, do what you need to do, take care of yourself. So my mom had been not herself, and I never thought she would do what she did, mm-hmm. and never in my mind mm-hmm. was that even a thing, right? But when that happened and my coworker died that way, I thought about her and I thought, man, this is like, you know, I gotta do something nice for her. So she worked at a High Tech Mold, which is down by Bosque. So I went to Guido's and I bought like tons of pastries, and I just went into her office and I gave, and she had a bunch of friends there, and I gave them like a ton of pastries, right? And everybody else was like, you know, doing whatever. They are, I think at the time, like kind of coming out of COVID, where she was very paranoid due to it. And I was there for, you know, a few minutes, and then I was leaving, and she walks me out, and she said, why did you do that? And in that moment, the real reason was because my coworker just died by suicide, and I'm worried about you. And that's, you know, I never said it. I never got to say it. So I just said, oh, just because,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like glossing over, which is what a lot of people do.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if I could do one thing differently, it would be to say that that day. And who knows what it would have done.
Right. And Luke, we've had this conversation before about, and I know you recognize this, that ultimately, though, the responsibility of someone's death is solely a responsibility of the person who died by suicide, right? So we're always very cautious when we give any kind of conversations about this, that that it's not your fault, right? That if, you know, sometimes that messaging isn't there, people don't share that information. That's why it's all the more important now that you have this organization to provide that outlet for people. So, you know what I mean? So you are offering that for future generations and people in the now.
Yeah, I think that's something that, you know, for Tom and I coming from the arts, I think that's something that the arts can do so well is make these conversations easier to have. And especially if we can tell these stories in like an accessible, artful way, then it doesn't become you bring these things up or you don't know how to bring it up. You know, it's just the more that we can just start to talk about it, give ourselves some kind of framework. The more that we can kind of normalize having those conversations. Mm-hmm. So that if you do recognize someone in your life is maybe seeming a little distant, or if you yourself are feeling that, we can start to put language and you know, start to take that first step of reaching out to someone or reaching out to an organization like Love of Tea. But it's not easy when it's something that, you know, we kind of as a society, there's so much shame around it and so much quiet and secrecy around it, mental health in general, but especially suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So just starting to put language and help people see, you know, this is something that we can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, that's why, again, having this film that you're doing is going to really help and put more light on this subject. Right. Hopefully decrease some of the stigma and bring attention to what resources are here,
exactly.
Particularly, you know, Love of Tea,
yeah.
You know, Luke's endeavor.
Yeah, I think that, too, like just in general, like me in the last couple of years becoming involved in BIFF, in the Berkshire National Film Festival, and seeing the social impact films that have screened there and being involved in the BIFF Social Club and like bringing back different films and trying to make that social impact has been really cool to see. And I've been able to meet like a lot of cool people and hear about a lot of causes. And but it's not all serious. So right. The BIFF Social Club, we do have an event coming up on August 3rd at the Lenox Library. And it is a screening. It's a family film night screening of The Goonies, August 3rd at 8 p.m. So, you know, bring the kids and really just get to know the BIFF Social Club and a little bit more about the film festival. And then we have a kickoff party in October at Prospect Berkshires. We're doing the Shattered Ice screening, which is a suicide prevention, mental health awareness, athletics film. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to do something that I tried to do years ago and had to kind of scrap. But in January, a comedy show to destigmatize mental illness. So, you know, all this stuff doesn't have to be, you know, you can have these conversations and it doesn't have to be like dark and dreary and emotional.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I just told like a really heart-wrenching part of my story, but you know, you can also like talk about these topics and be able to laugh and be able to have a good time. And just because you're talking about this and open about this, like it doesn't mean that you have to always struggle or your life has to suck or that you're like a downer. Like, the right people are going to gravitate toward you when you're open and really lift you up. And like, I could look at, you know, all the tragedies in my life, but really when I reflect back, like my life is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been able to come to the other side of a whole lot of brutal stuff that a lot of people unfortunately never make it through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, life is good. I get to do all kinds of fun stuff. I have really awesome friends, including both of you guys and tons of others. And like, just because someone, you know, it's like that, the semicolon tattoo, you know, like life goes on. Yeah. It doesn't have to end there, and it doesn't have to end at any setback that anybody has.
And you're just talking about some of those upcoming events, and you're saying, you know, this is a serious subject matter, but it doesn't always have to be under serious circumstances, right? And you also mentioned earlier about how when you spoke with your mom, you had a sense of things, you were a little concerned, it was on your mind, but you glossed over it. And so I think that a way to combat that is, and bringing in the doesn't always have to be a dark moment, is to have conversations on people's best days.
Yeah.
About, hey, and you know, if somebody's listening to this show right now, that could be your icebreaker, right? Hey, listen, yeah. I was listening to this show this morning. I heard about people who have these experiences, and just sort of talk to somebody today who's in your orbit and say, you know, this is what I learned today, I heard today, this is something that goes on. If that's ever you, would you be willing to talk to me? Kind of break that, kind of crack that window open,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that, because we know when someone is in crisis, they're already kind of narrow focused, that they're not thinking, they don't have all their coping skills at that moment potentially, right?
Yeah.
And so the last thing they now need to add to their list of things to do,
right,
is figure out who I'm going to talk to about. So if you kind of lay that groundwork in advance, when and if that time comes in somebody's life, and it can happen. I mean, 1 in 4 people have a mental health condition at some point in their life. Doesn't mean that they're suicidal,
yeah,
but it can be a factor. And you know, and it can be acute. It doesn't have to be chronic situations, right? Like your mom, right?
Yeah,
it was more of an acute situation.
Definitely.
So to have that groundwork already laid out can be that life saving thing, I think. So again, like you said, to your point, it doesn't always have to be under a dark shadow. It can be during a picnic or a good day, or you're out hiking or hunting or something like that. Have those conversations early and often, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's, especially for the film, the prospect of being able to bring this to schools and libraries,
yeah,
you know,
sure,
to be able to have this conversation when it's not in a moment of crisis, I think is, yeah, there's so much in what you just said is so true and so powerful. And one thing we've really found in the pre-interviews we've been having with folks is, like, there's so much laughter still.
Yeah.
And so really trying to bring that through too. It's like, yes, there is such a deep struggle that humans can go through. And at the same time, there is always such capacity for joy and laughter if we can, you know, just make space for that. Mm-hmm. So that is something, you know, that we have really found coming into Love of Tea and this topic of suicide, is that there's still, like, the joy does not go away, mm-hmm, and the laughter does not go away. So that's one thing that we're really trying to bring to the film too. It's just like, how can we make sure that there is still this light that's there? Yeah.
So we've got about a minute, a little over a minute left. What would you like to get out there, Luke or Nico, to our listeners?
For me, it's like, I could say, there's a few things I can say, but, like, I think I just have to take every opportunity that I have to really express the gratitude to this community for, like, really building this program. You know what I mean? I mean, you're talking donations from local small businesses, you know, $25 gift cards for a raffle, little things like that, mm-hmm, that really have piled up and made a massive impact. So I think that's, you know, I just have to thank everybody for allowing me to take this tragedy and turn it into something so beautiful.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't happen without your guidance, so, you know, great job.
Thank you.
How you've taken that and made it into something helpful. Yeah. And Nico, when are we looking at, when do you think completion will be on this project?
By the end of the year. We're looking for fundraising right now. We're in production. We'll start post-production in the fall, and
then we're going to release a little teaser.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and then we're going to finish it. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're going to do.
I know you will. I know you will. So, well, thank you again, Luke Fitzgerald with Love of Tea Foundation, and Nico Gargiulo. Thank you for being here.
Impressive.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For having
no, you
us.
Guys are impressive. So thank you for being here. And listen, everybody, enjoy this week. Thank you from everybody here at WTBR and WSBR for joining us this morning on The Morning Drive. Hope you'll be with us every day of this week. And please keep in mind the men and women of the armed services serving overseas. Have a good week.